This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For a lot of people, I think people are starting to think Browns. They're reading Browns. Peter King had his column out today. Not much in the way of Browns notes, his brand new column for Pro Football Talk. But as we're getting into it, as we're getting to the thought of, hey, Browns training camp is right around the corner, what are you thinking about? Because I know what I'm thinking about, and it's not the same thing you're thinking about. I'm always thinking about the quarterbacks, but what are you thinking about?
7 days of vacation coming up before training camp, then I'll think about training camp. Hey, listen, 9 days away from camp, 24 days away from the first preseason game, 55 days from the week one opener against the Steelers at home. There is, you know, to Mary Kay's point when she was on with you guys Friday, yeah, there is reason to be excited about this football team with all the new players that have been brought in. I looked it up. Of the active 53-man roster on December 31st, 2017, 18 of those guys are gone. Of the 11 players on the reserve injured list, 7 of those guys are gone. From the 10-man practice squad, 8 of those guys are gone. John Dorsey blew this thing up in the offseason. Trades, free agency, the draft, and boom, here you go. Everyone should be, you know, pretty excited and feeling good about going into the season with guys that you feel good about them going out there and being able to win.
At 216-578-0092, if you want to talk some Browns, Daryl, I'm interested at what you just said because we've had people say, like Evan Silva, the Evan Silvas of the world, say Sashi Brown saved football in Cleveland because he talked about certain guys on this roster that he really liked. You're telling me that John Dorsey's blowing up the roster, and he might not be done yet either, right? I mean, there are going to be cuts in training camp once he actually sees these guys and sees the competition and compares them to the guys he's drafted or the guys he's brought in via free agency that are very much in jeopardy of not making this roster. So I would say John Dorsey's probably not done yet. You're saying?
No. No, he's not. And I did. You bring to light my fashion faux pas today. I forgot to wear my Thanks Sashi t-shirt in. My bad. I apologize.
You know, I actually have one of those too. I did wear it as kind of a throwaway. I forgot who sent them to us. They were very nice. They gave us the freebies. But, yeah, I was not a Sashi Brown fan at all. I think he set back football for a number of reasons. Now, they could close the gap very quickly if Baker Mayfield ends up being really good. Because then it doesn't matter as much.
Well, Baker Mayfield better be really good. He's the number one pick in the draft. And if he's not really good, that could set the franchise back again. Luckily, you have a serviceable placeholder right now. And certainly Hugh Jackson, John Dorsey, they don't talk in terms of placeholder or bridge quarterback when it comes to Tyrod Taylor. But let's call the situation what it is. He's in the final year of his contract. Odds are, regardless of the year he has, I don't know necessarily that they're going to offer him to come back next year. I don't know that it makes sense considering you'll have Baker Mayfield waiting in the wings. But that's what he is. He is a placeholder. He is keeping the seat warm for whenever Baker Mayfield will be ready to step in and take over the reins of being the franchise quarterback here in Cleveland. That is why John Dorsey spent the first pick in the draft on the guy.
Daryl, I think it's pretty clear that this front office, they loved Baker Mayfield coming in. I think they had some preconceived.
Worst kept secret in football.
Well, yeah. And you know, looking back now, based on all the reporting after the fact, they were in love with him. Obviously, Dorsey had gone and seen his games in college. I think he had watched him in person way more than any of the other quarterbacks.
They did their homeworks.
Yeah.
They really did. And that's why I'm okay with the decision they made, mostly because I understand their process and I understand their thinking and why they liked him versus the other three guys. But that being said, Anthony, and I hate to, you know, keep hammering home, but Baker Mayfield better be the real deal. He better be. I'm not saying he's got to be ready for week one. because you have Tyrod Taylor, you have the luxury of bringing him along slowly, but he better be good.
Well, Daryl, here's the issue that I have with all this. Are you telling me that Baker does not have a chance to win the starting job? Are you telling me he has no chance? Because the way you were dismissive of the thought of a quarterback competition in training camp was interesting to me, because Ken and I have been talking, and we don't see it ending any other way than if Baker's really good, then not having it, he's got to have a shot. And so that, to me, is by definition a quarterback competition, which then becomes a quarterback controversy. I know we don't like using those terms. Fans don't. The team doesn't. The media does. We get that. But you're telling me that Baker does not have a shot?
When I see Baker Mayfield take a snap with the first unit offense, then I'll talk about competition. Until that happens, there is no competition.
Okay, that seems like a semantical thing, though.
No, because it's not a semantical thing, because he didn't get any first-team reps during OTAs.
Oh, why would he? Why would he?
The minicamp. You know, you've got...
Did Carson Wentz 3 years ago?
No, but the only reason Carson Wentz ended up starting is because the vet got hurt.
Well,
and I think that that's, and you know, I'm not trying to, you know, put the hex here on Tyrod Taylor, because I don't think that that would be very good for the Browns if he gets hurt in
well,
camp.
He's but been,
to me,
he's been as durable as anybody.
That's the only way that Baker Mayfield has a chance to start early in the season, is if something happens to Tyrod Taylor. Otherwise, Baker's holding the clipboard. Sorry.
I guess my question would be, why, if he comes out and gets up to speed on the playbook, he blows everybody out of the water with his play, with his talent, because that's why they took him one overall, is because he has talent.
He must have had a hell of a June and July then.
Well, but what
if that happens?
Based
on what I saw in the spring.
Sure, Daryl, everybody said he's got a long way to go, but that spring, this is the time now when we actually get on the football field and we hear about, you know, teammates gravitating towards Baker, such a great leader.
Same thing with Tyrod, though. Same thing. That locker room's gravitated toward Tyrod. They're behind him.
Well, you can't gravitate to two different places. You got to go to one. Can't go to two. It's got to be one. I'm just laughing because that's what I heard about Baker all throughout, is that teammates are absolutely going to love this guy. They're going to fall in love with his leadership qualities. And, yeah, Daryl, he's not going to be out there with the first teamers, but you know, either was Deshaun Watson, either was Carson Wentz at first. And then eventually it became so obvious that those guys were the future that they got on the football field and they got a chance to show what they could do. And I'm just surprised you think there's not that opportunity with Baker Mayfield.
Not right now, no. The plan is Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback for the Browns in 2018. I give the organization credit. They actually seem to be ready to actually stick to a plan. For the first time in about 20 years, it looks like they may actually stick to a plan.
But what happens when possibly another plan ends up being a better plan? Yeah, their plan is to have Tyrod Taylor start. He's been a guy that has been as steady as it gets in the NFL. Steady. You know, limited ceiling. Not a guy that you're going to win playoff games with, most likely. At least that's been the thought. He got benched last year. We understand that that was a huge mistake by the Bills, but they obviously thought they had to go in another direction.
And some Bills fans will tell you that the Bills got to the playoffs in spite of Tyrod, despite the fact that, you know, Tyrod is a rather conservative quarterback. He doesn't turn it over a lot, which is a complete 180 from what they had at the position last year. I still say that if the Browns had even a below-average quarterback, and they would have won four games. It was a 4-12 roster. So that's why I've kind of set the bar at 4-12.
Okay. All right, I want to hear from the fans on this. 216-578-0092. Daryl says...
You're stirring a hornet's nest up, Lima.
It's what you said.
You media people.
You said...
Wanting your quarterback competition.
I want the best guy to play, and if Baker could be the best guy, I want him to play.
I'm telling you right now, today, based on what I saw, best guy is going to play. His name's Tyrod Taylor.
Okay, so can Baker make that up? 216-578-0092 with training camp starting just 9 days away. We'll get to that. Coming up next, Daryl Ryder in studio today, our Browns beat reporter. Kenny is off this week, but we're very excited about having Daryl in studio today. Talk some football because we're 9 days away. It's pretty much that time to start thinking about actual football, and it's going to be exciting to see Tyrod Taylor out there, a guy who has been a winning quarterback in the NFL. When's the last time the Browns been able to say that?
Brian Hoyer.
Well, you know me. I say that in my sleep as I look up at my Brian Hoyer fathead that is above my wall, on my ceiling, that I look at time and time again.
Vinny Testaverde.
Vincenzo. Was he a winning quarterback? Did he finish with a winning record?
Got him to the playoffs.
What did Derek Anderson finish with?
You're going to make me look up the records, aren't you?
Well, you don't have to.
You're going to make me go to the bleep sheet, aren't you?
You don't know this off the top of your head, Daryl?
I thought you would. How many winning quarterbacks have we had? This should be easy for you to spot
Kenny, there are certain things in my life that I try and forget. Browns quarterbacks, one of the many nightmares that I have tried to forget.
Well, so Daryl has said that he doesn't foresee any quarterback competition at all. He thinks it's going to be a media-driven thing. Well, I'm in the media, and I guess I'm the one driving the bus on that.
Between you, the fans, Hard Knocks. See, that's the thing. Like, you know that's going to be a big storyline for Hard Knocks.
Hell yeah,
they're going to be focusing on Baker. And I just, right now, I think it's just, it makes for good radio, good conversation, but I just think that that's completely separate from
reality. Well, you are right. In a way, you're right on this. I know I'm right.
Thank you.
Tyrod is obviously going to be the starter to start. He's going to get all the
first team reps. How many times does Hugh Jackson need to tell you that Tyrod Taylor is his starting quarterback?
Hugh says a lot of things, Daryl. He said a lot of things last year about the quarterbacks, too.
And yeah, but look at what he was given for quarterbacks. I mean, come on.
I know, but they also, he's being given a number one overall quarterback.
Rules stipulated he had to put somebody at the position on the field.
And they went 0-16. I'm very familiar with how that shook out. But what I'm saying is, what happens if Baker Mayfield, who's a number one overall pick, and number one overall picks, they have talent. And obviously the coaching staff, and obviously the organization thinks he has a lot of talent. The fact that they wanted to take him number one overall when other teams would not have. Other teams might have taken Sam Darnold. If Anthony Lima was drafted, he would have taken Josh Rosen. But John Dorsey's there, and he had a love affair with Baker Mayfield. So did his brain trust. You're telling me that goes away to start training camp? Like, he's going to look like he's in over his head for the entire training camp? I mean, that wasn't the case with Carson Wentz. That wasn't the case with Deshaun Watson. Wasn't the case with Marcus Mariota. Wasn't the case with Jameis Winston. Those guys showcased their talent, and they started immediately. Why can't that be the case with Baker Mayfield?
Because the plan that they put in place was to go out and get a veteran before the draft, before they wink, wink, nudge, nudge, made their decision on the number one pick.
Yeah.
They went ahead and traded number 65 to Buffalo to get Tyrod Taylor in here to be the starting quarterback this year, hold the fort down so that whoever they picked can come in, take it easy. There's no pressure. Because that's the other thing, that's the other tentacle to this, Anthony, is playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, there's a lot more to it here, playing here, than in other markets. Because, you know, Baker's going to be starter number 30 since 1999. Okay?
That's incredible.
He's going to be the most popular guy on the roster this year because he's the backup. As we all know, the most popular Brown is always the backup quarterback and not the starter, right?
Well, when you're losing games, too.
Right, absolutely. So I think that their approach was intelligent, understanding the history. It is what it is. And I'm not saying the history should drive your decision-making process, but it should factor in. And so by allowing him to grow in and not just thrust the weight of the fan base, the region, the city, and the franchise on this kid's shoulders, who already is coming in with this narrative that was generated that he's a problem child, he's Johnny Manziel 2.0, he's too short, his arm isn't strong enough, all those pre-draft criticisms that came out, he's coming in with that already. And then you're going to thrust upon him, you're the first pick in the draft. By the way, you have to start week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers as a rookie for the Cleveland Browns and be starting quarterback 29 instead of having Tyrod Taylor take that. For all those reasons, I think that this is sound thinking by the organization. I understand your point about if he comes in and he's lighting it up in training camp and whatnot. But first of all, I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen because I don't think that they're going to put him in a position to where that's going to happen. He's going to be taking those reps with the second team offense, and Tyrod Taylor's going to get the ones, and Drew Stanton's going to be holding Baker Mayfield's hand and showing him what he's got to do, et cetera. But I don't believe there's going to be any pressure on the organization to put Baker Mayfield on the field before they want to put him on the field.
Well, I got to tell you, I think you are correct, Daryl, in saying that's the plan. I think it's a formidable plan, too. I like the fact that they went out and traded for Tyrod Taylor. I don't think Tyrod is an elite franchise guy, but
no.
I like the fact they traded for him. Now, we got to remember, he wasn't like their first choice. Remember, we can go back to last year when they did the McCarron thing, and that didn't end up working out. Now, that was another regime. Who knows how much Hugh Jackson was a part of that decision-making because he had coached him before. Then they went out and they tried to trade, at least according to reports, they tried to trade for Kirk Cousins. They tried to get Kirk Cousins. There was a Nick Foles trade that we had heard about that had been reported, and Nick Foles apparently wanted nothing to do with it, and he had some leverage in the situation.
Can you blame him?
No, I get it. I totally get it. But
I mean, go from winning a Super Bowl MVP to a winless football team?
They wanted to give him a chance to start, something he's not going to have a chance to do this year with Carson Wentz now being healthy. So,
he's got the better end of the deal.
Okay.
You know?
I'm just saying that in this case, with the Browns, Tyrod was not their first choice, but they went and traded for him. I thought that made sense. I had no problem with that. And now we're looking at it as, Tyrod's here. That's the plan. Tyrod is not the future for the Cleveland Browns.
No, he's not. Baker Mayfield's the future. Baker Mayfield better be the future.
Okay, let's go to the phones. 216-578-0092. I agree with you. I agree that he better be the future.
Damn it.
But, as we see all the time, the guys who are supposed to be the future always start much sooner than you think they will. Craig in Akron will start us off today. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I'm not bad. How about you?
What's going on, man? Doing okay.
Hey,
oh, okay.
Go.
Yeah. I just wanted to say preseason is pretty much a crap show. It's 10 plays versus 10 plays. When during the regular season, they run 100 plays. You know, a rookie quarterback, any rookie backyard school quarterback can do something in preseason. But come regular season, when they unleash 100 plays, you're going to probably watch, rookies who don't know the playbook, who don't know the NFL, end up, in the turf all day long. So it's a no-brainer. Tyrod Taylor all the way. I don't even care who does what in preseason. Tyrod Taylor all the way.
All right, thanks for the call, Craig. I mean, but we're acting as if we haven't seen rookie quarterbacks who have had to get up to speed on playbooks, who have had gaffes early on in their careers. We're acting like we also haven't seen those guys be successful and have great moments and then give their organization almost a year head start. See, this is so I'm saying if Tyrod
starts... Carson Wentz is exhibit A of that, Anthony. You never want to... The Eagles had the same plan. Start a veteran, have Carson learn, veteran gets hurt, Carson gets thrust onto the field. The problem for the Browns historically with a lot of their young quarterbacks is circumstance has dictated when those young quarterbacks play, not so much an organizational decision, okay? Be it injuries, poor performance of the guy out there, pressure internally to put a guy on the field, I want this situation for the Browns to be one in which circumstance does not dictate what they do. That, to me, is what's most important. I don't want to see Baker Mayfield on the field because Tyrod Taylor got hurt.
Okay? I get it.
Or the Browns are 0-4 at the end of September, and, Hugh Jackson's searching for cards he can play to get the heat off. Okay, well, I can play Baker. That's a card I can play. So I just don't want circumstance putting the guy on the field. I understand he's the first pick in the draft. You have expectations. I have expectations when it comes to first picks in the draft, especially if they're quarterbacks. But put a guy out there before they're ready to be out there, you're basically begging to ruin another guy's career. So, you know, I'm okay with the Browns being cautious in this situation.
Is the implication, Daryl, that guys have not worked out in the NFL because they started too soon? Because I don't know if I buy that. That's a nature versus nurture thing. I do think there are better circumstances for quarterbacks to get thrust into, certainly. But in the end, a quarterback, when he starts his first game, they're not really ready. I mean, that we use that term, are they ready? I think that's a false statement to begin with, because I don't believe that notion to me that quarterbacks are ready or not ready. I don't think you're ever really ready. And why do we see quarterbacks have like sophomore slumps from time to time?
Right.
It's because, well, the league figures them out a little bit, and then they have to overcome it, and it's that chess match. I think all guys, when they get thrust into the starting role, they're going to see stuff they've never seen before. You're going to lose games because of that.
The playbook is a lot more expansive and in-depth than what they dealt with at college.
Oh, way more. Way more. And you've heard coaches talk about that, too. That while when we had, you know, Drew Brees was on Bull and Fox a week ago, Drew Brees made an interesting point. Like, the transition from college to NFL has actually gotten easier, he thinks, because of the way that they're scheming in college, the way that they're allowing players to operate out of the shotgun now in the NFL.
And the NFL is, to a degree, adapting their game because, you know, when I talk to scouts, they tell me the hardest thing to project, obviously, is quarterback, not just because of the position, but because of the way the college game is played. The playbooks are real simplified. A lot less is demanded of them in the college game. Athleticism, you can get away with maybe some subpar mental skill set at college.
We saw that with Manziel.
Right.
He was able to get away with stuff.
So you understand where I'm going with that. So the transition, it really is difficult. That's why I laugh at anything. All dumb football players. Anytime I hear that, I just want to slap somebody. Because you have to be extremely intelligent to play in the National Football League.
And to play quarterback. That's at a
and
different
not,
level.
Not just to play quarterback. I'm talking any position. You got to be smart to play offensive line. You got to be smart to play linebacker, play corner. Any position on the field. You have to be intelligent to play football at the NFL level. And you have to be even more intelligent to play quarterback. The playbooks, And that's why I love the fact them bringing in Drew Stanton to show Baker.
That was a good move, yeah.
To show Baker, here's how you study film at this level. Here's how you prepare on a day-to-day basis. Here's how you take care of your body. Those things. So now Tyrod, he's not focused on that. He's just focused on preparing himself for a season. You know what I'm saying? He's not worried about, I go back to the Brian Hoyer Johnny thing. You know, the narrative out there. Brian was a terrible teammate because he wouldn't show Johnny the way. Well, the reason why what gets lost in the shuffle is the reason why Brian didn't waste his time trying to show Johnny the way was because Johnny wasn't wasting his time preparing himself to be shown the way.
Well, and it was a huge year for Brian Hoyer in terms of trying to stay in the NFL.
Right.
And Tyrod, it's a huge year for him. He's got this 1-year deal, and so he's got to try to worry about his future. He's not going to be worried about mentoring Baker Mayfield. So you're right. Bringing Stanton in made sense. Let's go back to the phones. John in Brunswick next up. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to bring up to your attention about the whole should we start Baker because he's number one. And then you guys brought up, you know, Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. You know, Wentz was the only quarterback, so they had no choice but to start him. They got rid of Sam Bradford for him. And then for Deshaun Watson, he had Tom Savage ahead of him, who's only played 5 games. Obviously, he was terrible the first half. So having Baker on the bench for the first season just to see everything, it's great for him.
Yeah, John, you know, I don't know. But see, that's where I would disagree. You're right. The situations are different, John. But I don't know that you get better by sitting. Like, if you were to ask anybody in the Houston Texans organization whether they're happier that he played this year, even though he did sustain another, you know, ACL injury, which we shouldn't gloss over that. That could be a big deal. But he already had shown he could come back from one of those. John, those people in Houston are ecstatic that he has a year under his belt. Philadelphia loved the fact that Carson Wentz took those lumps in year one. Well, they ended up with 6 wins that season. And by the way, Carson was not good the second half of that year.
Yeah, he started. He started like gangbusters.
Yeah.
And then, as we talked about, teams started to figure him out a little bit, and he trailed off in the second half.
To me, John, I think you're delaying the Browns' rebuild if Baker takes a red shirt the whole year, because now you're starting from scratch in year two. Now he's already a year into that contract.
But here's the thing: this isn't a rebuild, Anthony. They're not technically. They're trying to win some football games this year. They went through 2 years of football Siberia, winning one game in 2 years. They're not trying to rebuild this year. They're trying to win some games and try and establish something here.
I think Tyrod Taylor, obviously he's going to be the starter, but I think he's on such a short leash that 1 or 2, 0 and 2, we're going to see some Baker in there. They're going to have no choice just because Hugh Jackson's going to lose his job. I mean, I agree with you, but it never hurts to see a few games sitting on the bench trying to figure everything out, especially, you know, the way they say he's been practicing. You know, he's still trying to learn everything, so it's not going to hurt him to watch a few games. If it's the whole season and it helps him, that's great, but I definitely, you know, you got to trust in Dorsey. He's literally accomplished everything we need.
And I do. I love Dorsey. Thanks, John. Thanks for the phone call. Even though I didn't like the Baker pick, I do trust John Dorsey, and I am going to trust him on some of this. The guy I don't trust is Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson's going to be the one desperate for wins at some point, so who knows? If this Browns team is like, they start out the season 1-3. I don't know.
Looking at the schedule.
I know. Look at the schedule. And it was some good news for Yan Gomes at a very interesting time. We'll get to that. Daryl Ryder in studio for Ken Carmen. Another chance to win $1,000 coming up in about 20 minutes. Our national contest, our pigskin payout. Going to be doing it to start today for the next 5 weeks. We'll be doing it on this show with Baskin and Phelps and, of course, Bull and Fox. We get lots of winners here locally, and you could be next, but only one way to find out is to be listening at those winning times at 7:05, etc. Daryl, welcome in today. People are saying stop yelling. It's 7:45 in the morning, and you're yelling at everybody. This is tame.
I don't think I've yelled at you once this morning.
Well, so I came in today, and Daryl, you want to talk about full of vin and vigor. What do I not like to do when we come in the morning?
Talk. To anyone.
Have personality.
No interaction. No human interaction until at least 6 or 5, 45 maybe?
Yeah. Then we can
prefer 6:30, but
unfortunately there's a show that starts, so I have to kind of spruce it up a little bit. And yesterday it was, you know, Taste of Tremont, so that was a day long bar crawl, house party crawl, just wandering in and out.
Which means don't talk to him until 6:02.
Yeah, I don't want any
did not get
conversation.
That memo.
And Daryl comes in and it's, hey, Anthony. And the look on kid's face, I could just tell like, oh, he doesn't know. Daryl doesn't know that Anthony doesn't really do that.
Didn't get the memo.
I'm a horrible.
Well, I wasn't about to tell him.
No.
Well, I blame Owen.
I intentionally didn't tell him because I wanted to see how this was going to go.
Why do you guys do this to me?
Why wouldn't we do
it took
that
Ken,
to you?
It took Ken the better part of 1 year and 8 months.
To figure it out?
To learn, it's not joke time. 5:30 in the morning is not time to work on your shtick. No, not with me at all. Anyway, 216-578-0092. Good discussion, though. We're going to be taking calls for Daryl after the news dump on the Cleveland Browns. You can ask him anything. Take this opportunity to do it. Hopefully you keep it PG.
Do we really want them to ask me anything?
I do.
Anything.
I do. Anything. We used to get those Daryl Ryder phone calls during certain segments of the Bull and Fox that would have to be dumped. We're not going for that. We're going for actual legitimate football questions today right after the news dump. So you brought to my attention something very interesting that I, again, off the grid all weekend, didn't really see much of this. Who is working with Jarvis Landry? Which quarterback is working with the number one wideout, the big free agent acquisition, I should say trade for the Cleveland Browns?
The player that you coveted throughout draft season.
Who's that?
He wears number 2.
Oh, Baker Mayfield. Now, wait, he's supposed to be getting second team reps.
Jarvis
Landry
is
first
down maker coming at you.
You do like to hear that. As a Browns fan, you do like to hear that. But that kind of stuff will just drive.
Could that become his nickname, Baker the touchdown maker?
Ugh, please.
You know it's coming.
It is.
You know it's coming.
So bad.
We have to get Chris Berman.
It's so
on
bad
the show.
Though, Kenny. It's good.
Oh, that's why it'll catch on. Just to annoy the hell out of everyone.
Chris Berman will be doing it on SportsCenter or whatever.
He'll come out of retirement. Yeah, he'll come out of retirement just to do that. I don't know if that'll be the case. I think we're so desperate to cling on to anything that we'll take any nickname at this point, as long as it means somebody is winning. But I do find it interesting, like the reports are that Baker Mayfield's working with Jarvis Landry.
Well, there's no reports. It's on like Instagram.
Not Tyrod Taylor. Maybe Jarvis thinks that Tyrod doesn't need those reps.
Well, Jarvis and Tyrod worked earlier in the offseason.
Oh, okay.
So Jarvis is spreading the
love. Now it's his turn. When does Stanton get to work with him?
Never.
That's not going to be happening, is it? Jeff on the east side, next up on the Fan. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great to hear from you.
Hey, all right. Hey, Baker Mayfield wasn't my choice, but he's a Cleveland Brown. Mm-hmm. So I love Baker Mayfield now. But I feel there's nothing wrong with Baker Mayfield learning the game. Let's not go 0-2, 0-4, then start hollering for Baker. Let Baker learn. Maybe after the bye week and we're still sucking, then okay, yeah, let's bring Baker in. But I'd like to see the guy come in slowly. I do not want to see this guy get ruined. If we put him in too early, it could be like the second half of the Georgia game where he's running for his life and he just falls apart. I want the guy to succeed, but also let him learn and just let's bring him along slowly. Let's talk about Chubb and maybe Hyde. That's a better controversy, maybe some real controversy right there. Who should be starting?
A running back controversy.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jeff. I appreciate the call. But Jeff did bring up the second half of that Georgia game, and Ken and I have gotten in arguments about that. He was great in that game. Don't get me wrong. Baker was sensational. He had a number of highlights where those were things that only Baker Mayfield can do. Second half of that game, he was getting chased down by some defensive ends, and all of a sudden that accuracy that we always hear about, he went from the most accurate passer I've ever seen to just another guy who struggles when guys are in his face. And that's where the size thing, I brought up the size thing, and Ken, what does he call me all the time? He calls me
size queen.
I think he calls me a size king. But either way, size king, size queen, I get the reference. But Baker looked small in that game. And who knows? Joe Thomas is not there. Now, if you want to make the argument that because Joe Thomas is not there, then offensive line could take a huge step back. And so, therefore, go with Tyrod Taylor because we don't want to ruin Baker Mayfield. But I've always found that the better the quarterback is, then the offensive line doesn't necessarily mean as much. Like, it's more about the quarterback. Same thing with receivers. I think the quarterback often makes the receivers better, not great receivers make the quarterback better, which I've heard some people say that now Tyrod has the best receivers he's ever had in his career, and so he's going to take a step forward. I kind of think Tyrod Taylor
can make a bad quarterback look good. Absolutely, they can.
Look what Josh Gordon did for Brandon Whedon.
I know.
It had us thinking, hey, maybe we might actually have something here.
Josh Gordon led the NFL in receiving yardage with Brandon Whedon, Brian Hoyer, and Jason Campbell throwing him footballs. Think about that for a minute.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's your best example. We're going with Josh Gordon in that capacity. Let's go to Tony in Berea. Make it quick, Tony. How are you?
Okay, I'll make it real fast. My question was, now that we have the new offensive coordinator from Pittsburgh, well, is Hugh Jackson going to be in charge of developing Baker Mayfield, or is the new offensive coordinator in charge of calling everything?
Tony, we're going to write that question down. That'll launch our question, our Ask Daryl Anything segment, coming up right after the news dump. Stick with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.